Good morning, everyone.
Ooh,
I'm a little loud. First of all, let me welcome you to our construction. For Phil Smith and all the folks who have been working to make sure that we have a beautiful place to worship. Phil, could you stand up for a minute? Come on, Phil. Give me my hand. Phil has had a marvelous team of hardworking people with him, and I don't know every name, so I'm not going to try to call a few names, but we are obviously in the process of remodeling, so please bear with us. Before we do anything today, most of you know we've been finishing our stewardship campaign. We are past the deadline, and we still have some pledges out. And today, our board president and members of our finance committee would like to take just a moment to speak, and then we will be on with the service. So without further ado, Sue Blackwell, who is our board president.
Good morning.
There's no connection on that one. You may have to use hers.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. How many of you were at the service last week? I don't know how many. I don't know how anyone could leave a service like that without a smile on their face or a tear of joy in their eye. The song at the end was adorable, and Michelle, thank you. We are really going to miss you. What we celebrated last week was a kind of stewardship. The sharing of time and talent. There is another kind of stewardship that is more difficult to talk about, and it is the sharing of money. But we must talk because the church needs money to survive. You all have been very generous this year. Many of you have increased your pledges. Unfortunately, three of our largest donors left our church last year. They did not leave because they were upset. They left because of circumstances that can affect any one of us. However, we must make up what we have lost. We need to continue to support our ministry as we continue to grow. Nancy Brandt has approached the board and asked for a very few additional hours in music. We want to give our staff the cost of living raise that they deserve. And even without these extras, we are about $25,000 short. Your board is meeting Tuesday night to finalize the budget for the annual meeting. We still have 20 pledges that are not in. We are $25,000 short. We need to make up as much of the shortfall so we can avoid program cuts. I am asking each of you to reach into your pockets and your hearts and give what extra you can. An extra $250 a year is a little more than $20 a month. $500 is just over $40 a month. And $1,000 is just over $80 a month. While some of us cannot afford this, certainly many of us can. If you can't add it to your monthly budget, maybe you can write out a one-time check by cutting the vacation for one day or dipping into the Christmas fund. Jeff and I are increasing our pledge for the second time this year. Whatever you decide to do, thank you for your generosity in all areas of stewardship. Rick?
Good morning. I'm Paula Hillman. I'm the chair of the Finance Committee. We began meeting in October, and I work with a wonderful group of people. I'd like to just call your attention to their names, because if you have any ideas or questions for us, please approach us at any time. Rick is on the Finance Committee, as well as Tim Fuller, John Stout, Carl Tim, Mike Bira, and myself. And we meet monthly and work to advise the board on matters related to finances of the church. I'm going to turn things over to Rick now, and he has a few words to share with us.
Good morning. I'm one of the new people here. I've been here only a couple of years and new to the Finance Committee. I really, when I joined the church, like a lot of you new people, I wanted to just sit in the back row, sleep through the sermon, and let things be go. Listen to the great music, take a little nap. It didn't work out that way. I still sleep through the sermon, but now I'm involved in the Finance Committee. I'm going to catch hell for that. But as a new member, I wasn't quite sure. And I think what I'm going to talk about this morning is some of us new members get to be a little bit complacent. We come in here. It's wonderful. We love it. We say, this is really neat. The music's great. The RE's great. There are lots of reasons to be part of this church. But we forget that behind the scenes, a lot of people are doing a lot of work. I've been on the Finance Committee for, I think, about 8-9 months. Paul and I and the rest have looked real seriously at where all the numbers are. Sue alluded to it. There's no waste here. There's no money that's being wasted on frivolous things by a long shot. Most of the money goes to salaries. We think, I think I speak for the whole Finance Committee and maybe some others, that, first of all, we have a wonderful staff. We are not overstaffed. Those staff is overworked and underpaid. That's simple. So my message this morning is that some of us newer members, newbies, the sophomores and juniors, if you will, need to step up and take the place of some of the people that have been here for a long time. We have people that created this church, made this wonderful place for us, and I think the best thing we can do to thank them, I'd love to have a great big dinner and a celebration, but I think the best thing we could do is meet the budget. So let's see if we can do that. We have pledge cards. There's some at the back of the sanctuary, and there's some in the office right next to the box. Like Sue, I'm going to re-pledge today for the second time this year. And up it a little bit. I'll try to walk the walk, not do the talk. So, again, please see Paula and I after the church. Wake me up after the sermon if you've got any comments. Thank you much.
Thank you all so much. And I'll be honest, I doubled my pledge this year. It's a tough one, but we have an incredible place here. If you can help, help. And if you can't, we love you. It's really okay. She anoints my head with oil. She won't forsake me. She won't leave me. She won't turn away. She is a mother. Come, let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
We light this chalice today to honor the mothers and others who made sure through their light and their love that we made it this far. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our first hymn, number 346, in the gray hymnal, Come Sing a Song with Me.
Come walk in rain with me.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Wendy, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Visitors, friends, and members are welcome at everything here. Like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out our webpage at lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have here with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
While we're getting set up here, I just wanted to say it's kind of typical that it's from the title of the song, it's up to the moms how kids are going to turn out. One of the teachers down at First Stage Theater said, take credit for all the good stuff you can, because you sure know if they mess up badly, you're going to get the blame.
Mama, don't let you make
We try to care for our community in a lot of different ways. And one of the things we do is contribute every month to the food pantries, both financially and by collecting food. So if you've brought something non-perishable to share, please bring it forward at this point. The basket is currently here. Or have a child bring it up for you, and I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. And I'll tell you, this has to be the most expensive ebook that God ever created. I wanted this story so very badly. It's called Max and the Dumb Flower Picture. And it's marvelous. It's by Martha Alexander. And fool that I am, I said to my poor husband, quick, download this for me and I will have it for tomorrow. You have a PayPal account. And he did. And then he realized, no, it can't be transferred from computer to computer. And no, you're not taking my gaming computer into work. So I downloaded it again. And it was still as marvelous as I remembered, and it was worth it. But so this story took a bit to get my hands on. So, and I'm going to sit on the floor for this. So you may have the first minister who does her sermon from the carpet in front of everything. So today's story is about Max. And Max was getting ready for Mother's Day. And if you buy the book, you actually, all the friends of the author drew and painted pictures of flowers. And so the front piece of the book gives you space to draw your own picture and shows you what they drew. And these are their real drawings. So it's a fun book to own. And you can see all the different styles because everybody did something very, very different. So this is Max, and Max has bright red hair, just like Caleb, our drummer, today, which is marvelous. Max didn't want to color the dumb flower picture. Miss Tilly wanted him to. You all ever had a teacher give you a picture that's all black and white and ask you to color it in, and they don't want you to make your own picture, you just get given the picture? Max thought that was a pretty bad idea. Your mother will love it, she said. Max knew his mother wouldn't love it. Sunday was Mother's Day, though, and he needed a present. Miss Tilly made copies of the dumb flower picture for everyone to color. She kept saying, make the flowers pretty. And for those of you in the back, here is the dumb flower picture. It was pretty dumb. It was pretty simple. Max didn't want to color in the lines of the dumb flower picture. Miss Tilly still wanted him to. You'll be the only one without a picture for your mom, she said. And she pointed at him and she lectured him. Max knew his mother didn't like coloring books, and he knew she wouldn't like a dumb flower picture either. He knew she would rather have his very own drawing. How many of you all like to draw? Anybody? I like to draw. Good. Do your moms like and your dads like what you draw? Yeah. How many of you think your parents would rather have your very own flower picture than something out of a book? Yeah. All right. So we know Max kind of had the right idea here. Max just sat there and sat there. The other children did what Miss Tilly wanted them to do. They stayed in the lines and they made the flowers pretty. But not Max. Max stomped his feet and sulked. He couldn't sit there anymore. It was boring. He jumped up and grabbed his dumb flower picture and his crayons, and he ran outside to the playground. And you can see them all looking after him there, wondering what the heck Max is up to. He hid behind the bushes, and he turned the dumb flower picture over. And what do you think he did? He started to color. The other children went looking for him. Miss Tilly was worried that he'd actually run away. She called the police to help look for him. After a while, Abby called, "Here he is, I found him." And he came out from behind the bushes. The policeman was glad to see that Max was safe. How much you want to bet he got a little bit of a lecture, too, for hiding behind the bushes? Do you think the policeman would have just been happy about that? Nah, he probably would have told him, don't do that again. Miss Tilly was glad that Max hadn't run away. She gave him a hug. But Max hid his drawing behind his back, and all the other kids wanted to see it. Well, I'd want to see it after I'd been out looking and the police came. I want to see what you're drawing. Maybe it's neat. Max showed them. The children ran back to the classroom once they saw what Max had done, and they all started to work again. Yolanda held up her pretty flower picture. Abby and Joey and Susan and Max all showed their very own flowers, and none of them looked like the dumb flower picture. They all made them up all by themselves. All five of their mothers were happy and excited about the beautiful presents their kids had made in school that day. Each one is so different. It's just like my child. And everybody went home happy, ready for Mother's Day. Miss Tilly was happy too. Thank you all for listening to my story today, and I would suggest, if you're interested, get a copy of Max. The flower pictures are wonderful, the art is amazing, and there's space to color in the book, which is the best thing of all. Now I'm going to ask that you all help me in singing the children to the classroom after I get up off this floor. The song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are in your order of service, and we will do our lantern lighting. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if you all would please follow our lantern lighter to your classrooms as the grown-ups sing you out. As some of you may know, for a while, I had three teenage boys in the house. It was a learning experience. And when I saw this from Stephen Sultanoff, PhD, called Things I've Learned from My Children, I realized how perfect it was. When you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. Brake fluid mixed with Clorox makes smoke, a lot of it. A king-sized waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house 4 inches deep, exactly. Play-Doh and microwave should never be used in the same sentence, funnily enough. super glue is forever. No matter how much Jell-O you dump in the swimming pool, you cannot walk on water. VCRs do not eject PB&J sandwiches, nor does the DVD drive, the CD drive, even though TV commercials show they can. You do not want to know what that smell is. Always look in the oven before you turn it on, because the melting point of Barbie is 350 degrees. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. But freshly washed earthworms are not a pretty sight. Doing gymnastics with cats does make them dizzy, and the average cat throws up twice their body weight when dizzy. Legos will pass through the digestive tract of a four-year-old. Quarters will not. The morning offering will now be given and received, and quarters are welcome, whatever their origin. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. In every service, we take time to share together our joys and our concerns. Before the service, you can always come forward to the candle table here and silently light a candle for something that you don't want to say out loud. But during the service, we share together. We speak aloud. We light candles. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
My name is Esther, and I have a brother, Patrick, who is 83 now. And when he was 20 years old, he went to Korea and was in the Korean War. And he was badly injured and has shrapnel still within his body. But next Saturday, he is going on an honor flight, flying out of Madison, because he lives near New Madison. And so he's going next Saturday. So I honor him for that. And I'd like you to light a candle of joy for that.
I'm Carrie, and if you could just light a candle for my mom, that's all I'm going to say.
Hi, I'm Angel. A great joy. This next Saturday, we'll be celebrating the fact that Grace graduated in January, and she's turning 20, so I can no longer look at her, shake my head, and say teenagers. So she'll be happy for that. But I'm having a big party, and I'm going to send out an invite. But anyone who knows Grace, please just stop in and let her know what a wonderful person she is. She could use that boost at this point in her life. It would be awesome. Thank you.
Diana Fry.
My name is Claire, a candle of joy and a little bit of concern. We just came back from visiting family up north, and one of very special people is my grandma. Just turned 94 a couple of days ago. Although the medication she's on makes her a little bit confused, she can't really talk very well. She was very happy to cover me in kisses, and that was the sweetest thing.
A candle of joy for my mother, who's here with me today, who is an amazing woman and is my biggest supporter.
I am Sue. I can light two candles, one for the graduating class of 2015 at Carroll. We'll be celebrating later this afternoon, so keep your fingers crossed for a lack of rain. And the other for the celebration tomorrow of the multi-award-winning homebrew brewed by the Lingering Goddesses, just because Al can't be the only one to talk about beer.
Hi, I'm Barb. I'd like you to light a candle of joy and concern for mothers everywhere, for Mother Earth, for the mother that we all are and each of us have.
Hi, I'm Sue, and I'd like to light three candles of joy for the... We have a new sober living home for women, and we have three women who are sober and able to spend their day-to-day with their children. So I'm very happy for that healing.
Hello, I'm Al. Some of you call me Mother. Not in direct response to the goddesses, but there was great joy last evening around our fire pit, and I suggest you all use it. It's a nice place, but the purpose of the meeting was to firmly agree we will have a Brewfest celebration this fall. So I know this comes to many of you as a relief.
I'm Amy. I'd like to thank the Lost Souls Band for welcoming Caleb into the group today, and I'm sure Caleb would like to light a candle because of joy for his grandparents and an aunt and an uncle and one of his teachers for coming to see him today. Thank you.
My name is Robin, and I'd like you to light a candle for my sister. She is almost been about 5 years older than me all through our lives. And but I've always looked up to her, and she's always looked down to me, and and been very, very good for me. And but she had been very, very ill recently, but now I find that she's getting out of it, and so I'm glad for that.
And we're going to do these last two.
Hi, I'm Matt. Candle of joy for my wife. She no longer works at Walmart. She'll be starting a new job in the environmental field next Monday.
Wonderful.
A candle of joy. My daughter surprised me with the most amazing homemade pancake breakfast this morning.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and sorrows that are deeply held, but which we didn't speak here today.
For some, Mother's Day is an amazing holiday with breakfast in bed and the sound of happy voices and few regrets. We bless you and share your joy. For others, Jen Lemon says, you want to be cheerful, you want to be with the program, but some years there are all these little points of pain that will not go away. The baby you never had, the one you gave up, the kid you lost to something bigger than you, the child that slipped away before you ever held her, the one that was never born, the one you worry you're failing, the one that failed you, the mother who's so close and yet so far, the one who loved you so much you couldn't love, who couldn't love you back, the one you could never love because it hurt too much, the one you lost too soon, the one who is slipping away, the one who could never, who you can never please, the one you wish you could live up to. There are no cards to honor these children or these mothers. There are no holidays to contain all the parts of you that fall outside lines of generally understood sorrow or celebration. But there is this moment, this incredible moment, where you can feel it all, where for once you can't stuff it down or forget it, where you have to be with it because it is not going away. And here, my friends, is where something important happens. This is where we connect, where we understand we are frail, where we are human, where we see in new ways what life means, where we are issued a compelling and a persistent invitation to mother ourselves, to cut ourselves the break we didn't get, to ask for the help we always needed, to let tears come and say, this is how it is. I'll ask in this one tiny moment for the courage I need to let everything just be. No matter what your point of pain or challenge today, I want you to know that you are not the only one. Somewhere over a silly Mother's Day breakfast, there is a woman faking a smile who feels just like you. Somewhere in a silent house with no one to call, there is a woman who is tending the ache of her loss just like you. And somewhere standing in a shower, there is a woman who is feeling it all and letting the tears come, just like you. Happy or sad, you are not alone. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Don't get me wrong, there are times I could have literally died of love for my son, and I felt stoned on his rich, desperate love for me. But I bristle at the whispered lie that you can know this level of love and self-sacrifice only if you are a parent. We talk about loving one's child as if a child were a mystical unicorn. 98% of American parents secretly feel that if you have not had and raised a child, your capacity for love is somehow diminished. 98% of American parents secretly believe that non-parents cannot possibly know what it is to love unconditionally, to be selfish, selfless, to put yourself at risk for the gravest loss. But in my experience, it's parents who are prone to exhibit terrible self-satisfaction and selfishness who can raise children as adjuncts, like rooms added on in a remodel. Their children's values and achievements in the world are reflected glory necessary for these parents' self-esteem and sometimes for the family's survival. This is how children's souls are destroyed. But my main gripe about Mother's Day is that it feels incomplete and imprecise. The main thing that ever helped mothers was other people mothering them. A chain of mothering that keeps the whole shebang afloat. I am the woman I grew to be partly in spite of my mother and partly because of the extraordinary love of her best friends and my own best friends' mothers and from surrogates, many of whom were not women at all but gay men. I have loved them in my entire life, even after their passing. No one is more sentimentalized in America than mothers on Mother's Day, but no one is more often blamed for the culture's bad people and behavior. You want to give me chocolate and flowers. That would be great. I love them both. I just don't want them out of guilt, and I don't want them if you're not going to give me them. Give them to all people who helped mother our children. But if you're going to include everyone, then make mine something like M&Ms and maybe flowers you picked yourself, even from my own garden, the cut stems wrapped in wet paper towels, then foil paper and a wax paper bag from my kitchen drawers. I don't want something special. I want something beautifully plain, just like everything else. It can fill me only if it is ordinary and available to all. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn 1012 out of the teal hymnal, When I Am Frightened.
Thank you.
Mother's Day isn't a religious holiday according to the liturgical calendars. Some churches celebrate it. Some ask that all mothers stand up and they hand out pink carnations or yellow carnations or white carnations. In Unitarian Universalist churches across the U.S. today, scattered ministers will tell the story of our own Unitarian abolitionist, Julia Ward Howe, how she issued her Mother's Day proclamation against war, how in 1872 she asked for women to join together for peace. They'll share with mildly interested congregations the fact that Howe asked for the first Mother's Day to be celebrated in June. Most of them will omit the fact that nobody cared. It wasn't until 1908, when Anna Jarvis led the celebration of the first modern Mother's Day, that the holiday came into existence. And even then, it was a fight. The holiday is supposed to celebrate our mothers, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. Thank you, Wikipedia. Apparently badly made breakfast in bed and overpriced cards from Hallmark play in there somewhere, at least according to Hallmark. But if words have baggage, the word mother often comes with three suitcases, a trunk, and two carry-ons. Talking about our moms is hard. Who are our mothers? Well, our mothers may be the people who physically gave us life. It's not a prerequisite. Our mothers are the ones who were there. They're the people who heard the song, "Mamas, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys," and thought, "Oh my God, you mean I have to worry about that too?" Our mothers cut our meat small enough that we wouldn't choke, and when we choked anyway because we were eating with two forks at seven, they cleaned up the mess and reminded us again not to eat so fast. Mom was there at 3 a.m. when we had the chicken pox or the migraine. Mom was there the first time a boy asked us out on a date or the first time a girl said, "Nah, I don't want to go out on a date with you." Mom was there. Mom cleaned our skinned knees even when we bled on the rug. She taught us that silly song about the llama or the camel or the apples. She didn't scream when we sang it 500 times and then 5,000. She didn't bang her head on anything when we wanted to play that game with all the pieces and the cards and the weird rule book and the plastic things, even when she stepped on them. For all the moms who worked and worried and made sure we had dinner and that it was safe, for all the moms who were there to clap us every time we did something great, hug us every time we needed it, this is their day. We celebrate with joy their lessons about how to be present, how to listen, how to love. And if we did grow up to be cowboys, we ride well and we love our horses because of them, because they taught us what that means. But not every mother enjoys every minute of the process. Writer Anna Marie Kelly Harbaugh says, "I long to celebrate Mother's Day my way, quietly, selfishly. I spend every day with my family on Mother's Day. I want to be left alone to do whatever I want, the way I want to do it, before I became a mother. I fantasize about sitting on my porch with a cool seasonal beverage, reading in the breeze. I want a garden, but only a little. I want to jog without a stroller, eat a salad from start to finish with no interruptions, vegetable complaints, or ketchup. I wouldn't mind pushing a button to summon my children briefly. I would smile at them. I would feel pride, and then I'd want to push another button and watch them go away again, just today. I wouldn't mind a date with my husband, but preferably to two separate movies. In his, some guy could make clever quips as he kills bad guys and stops train and beds women with... My film would be a foreign subtitled thing that evoked memories of my time as a college student overseas. Maybe we could meet for dinner afterwards, but only at a restaurant where they use real napkins and not one of the choices is macaroni and cheese. So our mothers, back to our mothers. Some of our mothers were there and not there. They kept us from running into the road. They made sure we didn't starve. They did their best. But their hearts were maybe somewhere else. Some were too tired, and some were too sick, and some were alone, and others wished they were. Some had always wanted to paint in Paris and got pregnant. Some wanted to help with homework, but lost their tempers and turned away. Others tried to help, but didn't read that well, or maybe they just couldn't do the math. They got it wrong, and they screwed it up, and they screwed us up, and they screwed themselves up, and they came back. They came back over and over again. For all of our moms who tried and failed and failed and tried again. For all the moms who never seemed to get it right but didn't leave. We celebrate their struggle today. We see their pain and we honor them. We honor you if you're one of those moms. If we grew up to be cowboys, we ride bravely because of them. We're not afraid of sudden changes or mistakes. We just pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and go again. We say, thanks, Mom. You showed me how to do that. So who are our mothers again? Some of our mothers just weren't there. We never met them. They left as soon as we were born. They walked away or ran away or faded away over months or years. Some died, others just weren't around. Some we lost to selfishness, alcohol, drug addiction. Some to the promises of boyfriends or husbands or girlfriends. To the promise of a bigger city or a newer life. Some we lost to jail or mental illness. Some we lost because they could not keep us, but gave us up with tears in their eyes and pain in their hearts. They would have had it any other way. And some of us became cowboys too, wild and fierce gunslingers on untamed horses. Mostly because no one was ever around to tell us it was a bad idea. Today we honor all those mothers, the mothers who couldn't stay, who didn't stay. We honor those who wished it could have been different and all those who just never realized there was another way. We may not be able to forgive, but we can recognize they didn't want it that way. So who are our mothers again? Writer Alison Luderman says this in her poem, Invisible Work. Because no one could ever praise me enough. Because I don't mean these poems only, but the unseen, unbelievable effort it takes to live the life that goes in between them. Think all the time about invisible work, about the young mother on welfare I interviewed years ago who said, it's hard. God, it's hard. You bring him to the park. You run rings around yourself. You keep him safe. You cut hot dogs into bite-sized pieces for his dinner, and there's no one. No one who says, what a good job you're doing. How you were patient and loving for the thousandth time, even though you had a headache. And I, who am used to feeling sorry for myself because I am lonely, while all the while, as the Chippewa poem says, I am being carried by great winds across the sky through all of the invisible work that stitches up the world day and night, the slow, unglamorous work of healing, the way worms in the garden tunnel so that the earth can breathe, and bees ransack the world into being, while owls and poets stalk shadows our loneliest labors under the moon. There are mothers for everything, and the sea is a mother too, whispering and whispering to us long after we stop listening. I stopped and let myself lean a moment against the blue shoulder of air. The work of my heart is the work of the world's heart. There is no other art. Mothers are those who do the work of the world's heart. Some of them are related to us by blood or adoption or marriage. Some are recognized and called mom or mama or mommy or mother or ma. Some are grandma or granny or nana or oma. Some mothers are named Bill or Frank, and some mothers are called dad. And some are not related to us at all. Some are the teachers and the lunch ladies of our childhood, the librarians who always took the extra time or had the extra cookie, the storyteller who inspired us and listened to our own stories, the Girl Scout leaders and ministers, the cashier at the gas station who watched for us every day after school and made sure we got there safe, who listened about our day between stocking shelves and wiping up floors. Today we honor every one of those who fill the spot marked mother in our souls. They weren't perfect, but they were ours. For the mothers who raised us with love and care and joy and wonder, thank you. Thank you. For the mothers who didn't get it right, boy, they didn't get it right. But they tried as hard as they could. Thank you. Thank you. For the mothers who got it wrong, really got it wrong, hurt us and broke us. We recognize that just as we are shaped by our lives, you were shaped by yours. Whether or not we forgive, we honor the fact that you shaped our lives. Thank you. Thank you. For the mothers who came later in our lives and who stayed, thank you. For the mothers who left and never forgot, thank you. For the mothers who regret nothing, because there's little to regret, they got it. They really got it. Thank you. Thank you. For the mothers who regret nothing, because they can't even comprehend what they did that they should regret. Thank you. For the mothers who mourn because they have lost a child, thank you. For the mothers who gave a child away for a better life, thank you. For the mothers who received a child that was not theirs by birth, thank you. Bless the mothers who let us grow up because of environment. Teachers and doctors, bless all who do the work of loving and guiding children in this world. Bless all the children who grow up to have children themselves. And mamas, don't just let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Get out there and take some riding lessons with them. Amen.
We extinguish this chalice, but carry the light in our hearts to shine the way for all those we mother and guide. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 409, Sleep My Child.
Thank you.
and peace, to love one another, cowboy or lawyer, waitress, warrior, or king. Peace, and may it be so.